there's an event annually that I am always very grateful to MC, very grateful to participate in, and it is the Vitae Foundation. It is, ultimately, it's a pro-life organization. One of the reasons that, aside from being a pro-life organization, that I have been drawn towards the Vitae Foundation is because they look for, seek out meaningful results, and they're able to monitor those results. And so you know that your efforts, your dollars are actually going to save lives. And every year they have an event that is so fantastic here in Springfield. It is again this year at the White River Conference Center. And they always have an incredible keynote speaker. This year, the keynote speaker is Abby Johnson. And this is somebody that many of you will be familiar with because you've seen her in networks in the past or on different networks in the past. And she is going to bring her message, and she's kind enough to join us this morning. I want to thank you for being with us, and your notoriety for a lot of folks, or I guess the thing that really stands out, is that you had a career with Planned Parenthood, and now here you are spreading the pro-life message, which for a lot of people is very interesting and remarkable. And if you would, talk to us a bit about that journey. How is it that you ended up with Planned Parenthood? What was that transition like?
Well, thanks for having me. I got involved as a college kid. I didn't know much about I didn't know anything about Planned Parenthood at all. I just knew what they told me, and it seemed to me like they were this, you know, benefactor to the masses, and they were out there trying to help women, and that's what they said. And they didn't really talk much about abortion at that time. It was sort of a different time. Their talking points were different. Everybody was saying how they wanted to keep abortion safe, legal, and rare. Now it's really a different time. You know, now it's abortion on demand through all 9 months of pregnancy for any and every reason. And, you know, taxpayers are going to pay for it. So it's, you know, it was really a different time.
So you get involved with Planned Parenthood. What was your transformation like? Because that's a big step. You know, a lot of folks don't even talk about the issue in this venue or others because they figure, well, you just can't change people's minds. But it does at times for people change. What was that like for you, and how did that happen? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there were a few things that happened that last year that I was there at Planned Parenthood, but ultimately what changed my mind was participating in an ultrasound-guided abortion. I'm not a doctor, I'm not a nurse, so that's not something that I, you know, regularly was participating in. And ultrasounds are not usually done during an actual abortion procedure, but we had a visiting physician that day, and I was called in to assist. And I watched as a 13-week-old baby fought and struggled for his life against the abortion instrument. And I knew then that there was life in the womb, there was humanity in the womb. And I knew that if those two things were true, then I was on the wrong side of this debate. And so that was when I ended up leaving my job.
It's interesting. I find that, well, in any discussion, if you have two sides that are opposing and one side wants the recipient of information to know as much information as possible, while the other side does everything they can to prevent that information from coming out, that's a pretty good sign as to which side is being honest and truthful. And as science develops, you have this desire by the pro-life community and these pregnancy care centers to want to get as much of that information as possible to people. And I thought it was interesting and it was timely that I came across this, knowing that we were going to be speaking with you today, that there was an oversight and investigation subcommittee on House Energy and Commerce that was, for whatever reason, talking about this this particular issue. And you had a a member of the committee, a Republican by the name of Representative Gary Palmer of Alabama, and he tried to enter what's called the Hand of Hope photo into the record. And people have probably seen this, and it was a photo of an unborn baby in which there was surgery being done in utero, I think 22 weeks, and the baby actually reached his arm out and grabbed the finger of either the surgeon or someone there, and there was a photograph of it taken. And the chairperson, the Democrat, slammed down the gavel and demanded that that be taken down. I thought, man, if that isn't just the perfect symbolism of one side that wants people to know the truth and the information while the other side does everything to hide it. And I imagine that you find this also.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's the same. You know, we look at things like... we see that everywhere. You know, I always tell people, if you don't want to see what an abortion looks like, then you probably shouldn't be supporting it, right?
Right.
If you don't want to, it was the same when my film Unplanned came out and the theaters were trying to suppress it. You know, the MPAA gave us a rated R rating. And they did that not because there's gratuitous nudity or because there's, you know, all of this bad language or anything like that. They did it simply because it showed what an abortion is. And I'm like, well, but wait a minute. I thought it wasn't a human being. I thought that it was just cells. I thought that it was just tissue. So if it's just tissue... If it's nothing more than just, you know, removing a mole off your back, which we see every day, right? We see disgusting pimple videos pop up all
over
Facebook without warning, right? So if we see that every day and it's no big deal, then why are you censoring this? So it's constant hypocrisy that we see from the left nonstop. But when it comes to abortion, they do not want you to see the truth. And that makes no sense. I mean, if it's no big deal, if it's nothing, if it's just cells, if it's just tissue, then why not show it?
Roe v. Wade, when that Dobbs decision came down, there was a great deal of misunderstanding all across the board. Some of it was purposeful. I mean, here in Missouri, you had the hysterics of birth control's banned and women who have miscarriages are going to be thrown in jail. But then on the other side, mm-hmm. you had some that at least initially thought that perhaps this meant the outlawing of abortion. And then, of course, people have become more informed. I think it's exactly what it means. That being said, it's important, I believe, for people who are pro-life to note that this doesn't mean, okay, we don't need to worry about it any longer. And in fact, to some degree, it may be even more important for people to learn about organizations like the Vitae organization and to attend events like this. If you could speak on that.
I mean, look, I wish it. I wish that were true. I wish that abortion was outlawed everywhere. I wish that was the case. But yeah, it's not. There was so much misunderstanding out there. And, you know, now we have, if it was that abortion was outlawed everywhere, our jobs would be a lot easier. But yeah, that's unfortunately not the case. We still have a ton of work to do. And in fact, you know, one of the reasons that I'm such a huge proponent of the Vitae Foundation is because we have, I think, an even greater threat right now. And it's not the threat of surgical abortion, because that's really not where it's not really where the fight is right now. It's not, the fight is not really inside of these brick and mortar abortion facilities anymore. I mean, look, over 50% of abortions right now in our country are being performed not through instruments, but they're being performed through pills. And over 50% of those that are being done through pills, women are getting them through the mail. And so we need to understand, how do we reach those women? What words, what language, what research, how we need the research of how we can effectively reach out to those women? How can we get into their minds? How can we convince them that what they're doing is not the right thing? How can we reach their heart, right? And that's exactly what the Vitae Foundation does. That's why I'm such a huge advocate for them. Because, you know, yeah, we would love to stand out in front of these abortion facilities and offer them resources. But to be perfectly honest, we're not going to be able to do that because the majority of women having abortions are not going into brick and mortar facilities anymore. They're going online. And the Vitae Foundation is doing the research to figure out how we can best reach these women online.
So the annual event is coming up, and I would encourage anyone who has not been definitely to come along. And, you know, as somebody that I'm probably about as extreme as one can imagine when it comes to being pro-life, there is still really interesting information to learn. And so this isn't I would say to people, it's not to convince you to be pro-life. So if you think, well, I don't need to go to that, I'm already pro-life. No, you definitely need to. And you can learn what incredible work that they do. The event is coming up on August 26th. And again, Abby Johnson will be the keynote speaker. Thank you so much for coming to the area, for doing this. And thank you for being with us this morning.
Oh, of course. Thank you so much for having me.
All right, you bet. Have a great rest of your morning.
Thank you.
You bet. Springfield's Talk 104.1. We'll get information also up about the event so that you can purchase a seat or a table if you want for an incredible cause in which your dollars really, truly go to make a meaningful difference.